Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Starting our brand new series this morning called Sound Mind, and you can see that cultivating wholeness inside and out. Powerful service we had in the first service, and I have no doubt that your life is about to be transformed. We don't preach from the Encyclopedia Britannica or the Reader's Digest. We preach from God's Word, generally speaking, expository messages with a thematic approach. Having just completed Breakout, which is our last series, we just ended now in the month of May, which happens to be Mental Health Month. We are going to preach messages to see people healed and set free and delivered. And you say, well, that doesn't apply to me. Well, let's just make sure as we get into it here. Before we read our main text, which is found in the book of John, chapter 21, I'm going to give you a rather lengthy introduction. Now, we do have notes and would encourage you to get those. If you haven't received a copy of that, lift your hand. The ushers will bring that to you. Here's one hand, two hand. Don't let the blood go out of their palms. Raise your hand high. Ushers right here. Very good. Thank you so much. One in the back. And if you'll go ahead and fill those notes out, it'll just help you remember what's preached. And then it is our sincere hope and prayer that you'll go preach it to somebody else. And a powerful, life-changing message, which this is, I believe, so I'm told. It was for me as I was weeping in my chair in preparation. Should be shared with many, many people. So May is Mental Health Month. Now, I thought that was, I thought it was created by, you know, like Hallmark or something like that, but it wasn't. I looked into it. Mental Health Month was actually started in 1949 by the Mental Health Association of America. Listen to some of these statistics in introduction before we read John 21. Approximately 1 in 5 adults in the USA, that's 47 million, experience mental illness each year. Wow. Suicide rates. The suicide is the second leading cause of death among people aged 10 to 34. The second cause of death in America is suicide. And what's the first one? It's not guns, gun violence. You could take away guns, but it's not going to take away the violence, because violence is inside the human heart. That's like getting rid of your spoons and forks so you don't gain weight. No, you're going to find food. You're going to eat it. The first leading cause of death is accidental deaths, accidents. Interesting, I didn't share this statistic in the first service, but here in the second, I have a little bit more time, so I will. COVID-19 pandemic found an impact on mental health that is far-reaching. More anxiety, more fear, depressive disorders. The CDC, not that I believe everything they say, but the CDC reported that during the late June of 2020, 40% of the U.S. adults struggle with mental health and substance abuse. 40%. And yet in churches across America, they're still teaching on simple leadership lessons, which I think we also need to have. But America needs deliverance. America needs healing. America needs to be set free. Overall, pharmaceutical revenues. The overall pharmaceutical revenues is $560 billion in the USA alone. That is bigger than some of the nations of the world's GDP. Wow. I didn't stutter. $650 billion. And I believe that's of 2021. That's not current. And it goes up. If you look at the graph, it's just going straight through the roof. And yet very few people offer deliverance and help. I want to tell you that as you're in this place, God wants to heal you and set you free. Over these next few weeks, I want you to bring someone that's deranged. Amen? We all have issues, and those issues really never end. Although I've been wholesale delivered, God's still working on things. He's never done working on you. He's always changing you, but some have bondages and difficulties and wounds that control their life. So we're beginning a new series, Sound Mind. Main text of scripture for us, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. I use a lot of versions. This is the New King James. Now may the God of peace, the God of what? Peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Come on, somebody say he'll do it. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. Do you understand the concepts of body, mind or soul? Mind and soul are synonymous for this morning's message. Spirit. You understand that there's an integration, there's a relation between all three. As the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the three in one God, there is three aspects to your being. Come on, look at your hand. It's your body, your physical body, your spirit, that's the place that Jesus comes and takes up residence, and your soul or your mind, your will, your emotions. And again, simply stated, God wants to set you free from every fear. You should not have fear running your life. God wants to set you free from every bondage, from depression. God wants to set you free from every fractured place. And over the next few weeks, including this morning, I believe God's going to do that. Can I get a amen? Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, your behavior, the way that you act and the way that you do things is really what you believe. You can say that you believe something, but if your behavior is different, you don't really believe that. Let's look at these three in introduction. Again, longer introduction. We'll stand and read John 21 in just a moment. The spirit or pneuma in the believer. Your spirit is seen as part of a person that is directly connected to God, especially in the context of the Holy Spirit's work in their life. I said in the believer, pneuma, in the believer, because there's people that are not believers. And if they're not believers and their spirit is actually not connected to God, well, dude, whose spirit are they connected to? Good question. Mind or soul. There's the Greek there, transliteration. Refers to the mind or the will, the emotions, the seat of the person's thinking, decisions, feelings. Body or soma, the body represents a physical aspect of being human. Temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians, Paul says that. The physical body is considered sacred. Now I'm going to just take a second here. Your body is sacred. Your physical body is sacred. You say, well, it's all going to return to the ground. That's true, and it's sacred. The stewardship of one's body is viewed as a spiritual duty. Let that sink in for just a moment. The stewardship of your physical body, biblically, is viewed, maintaining your physical health is viewed as a part of honoring God. It's a medium by which God, we worship God and do things for the Lord. Look at C in your notes, the work of Dr. Wilder Penfield. If you've gone through our encounters, you've heard this, but it's so profound, I added it to this message. Dr. Wilder Penfield, 1934, until his retirement, operated on 1,132 epileptic patients. Now, I've felt a little bit of a tilt in the first service, starting to feel it right now. Oh, I believe in science that lines up biblically. I don't believe in science that tries to change scripture, but I love where science confirms what I see in the word. The word is truth. Come on, say that. The word is truth. All right, so listen now. This confirms what we see in Scripture. He operated on 1,132 epileptic patients using a local anesthetic. So the patient's awake when he does it. They take the top of their skull off. He would take an electrode to find out the source of the epilepsy. And in doing so, he discovered some fascinating things would happen. People would experience like a flashback, a memory of when they were a child, or the electrode would be applied, and then they would maybe lift their hand. And the one person says, when their hand lifts, said, "I didn't do that. You did that. I didn't do that." I want you to say that. "I didn't do that. You did that." The emotions and thoughts, where people were consciously aware of those when part of the cerebral cortex was touched. But he found out there's a difference between the brain and the mind, or the brain and the soul. Watch this now. He found out that the brain is like the computer. The brain is like a computer. It is not the actual person, but seemingly it's like programs. How many of you have a computer? No, you have a phone that's a little handheld computer. It's programmed by somebody, and occasionally you get updates. I kind of wonder whether the updates cause our phones to crash, so we get new ones. It makes me wonder sometimes. That's like you and me. We have a brain, but it is not actually who we are. Just remember that. One particular patient, when her brain was touched, she was immediately brought back to the memory and the emotions and the fear when she was washing the dishes and her child was out in front of the house. It's 30 years before. She remembers it vividly and has the emotions and experiences all of it just like it was happening. Daughter's out front, cars are going by, and she wasn't sure that the fence was closed. And she had this fear, remembering the fear that she had that her daughter would be hit by a car or something would go wrong. And it was profound for her. Dr. Penfield says he found no place in the cerebral cortex where a patient would believe or decide. All right. Still an introduction. John 21. We're getting there. The work of Dr. Caroline Leith. This lady is profound. And if you haven't read anything from her, it would be worth reading. She has this work on toxic thoughts. Dr. Leith discusses how negative thinking patterns can physically alter the brain structure, leading to detrimental effects on mental health, including stress, anxiety, and depression. I mean, that's intense. She literally found that when studying, she's a brilliant neuroscientist and a spirit-filled believer. I was watching some of her stuff and reading some of her reports, her writings. I thought, you know what, we should probably invite this lady up here to preach. She's a great preacher, great teacher. She talks about detoxing your brain. How many of you ever fasted and you've gone through detox? How many of you ever been through detox at all? Okay. She talks about these structures, these memory trees. Memory trees. Literally, she describes it this way, that in your mind, memories create proteins in your actual brain. There's protein structures. And when those memories are traumas and hurtful things, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it the way she said, lies. When you have in your thinking lies, how do we know what lies is? Lies are because we know what God's word is. It's absolute truth. We believe in, to quote Governor Dunleavy, we believe in absolute truth. And so when you believe a lie, or when you experience a negative encounter, or you go through trauma, if that's not healed, it builds a protein structure. It looks like a tree. And those literally help to release or increase anxiety and depression, and they're seeing it related. It's like being short-circuited. Dr. Leaf explains that positive, healthy thoughts build resilient, flexible neural connections, promoting overall mental and cognitive health. So when you engage in toxic thinking, which includes patterns of negativity, destructive thoughts, self-hatred, lust, greed, anger, it can lead to a development of unhealthy, rigid neural connections that are like a tree in your head. Let's all praise the Lord for a second now that you're thinking about a tree in your head. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jesus.
We have a loose child on the front. Loose child on the front. Security. All right. Look at E. Oh, I'm going to read this. I didn't have time in the first service, but I'm going to read it to you. Her teachings emphasize neuroplasticity of the brain, which is the organ's ability to change and adapt in response to new information, thoughts, environments, and experiences. By actively managing and redirecting our thoughts, Dr. Leaf suggests that we can influence the formation of these protein structures in a positive way, thereby enhancing our mental health and cognitive function. Now, I'm getting very psychological and scientific. It is a totally biblical principle. Come on, Romans 12 and 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Can I preach in here? I'm just preaching myself happy because I realized I'm studying this last night, this morning. I'm like, oh, I had like a rotten, cursed forest in my head and I've been set free. I had a forest of rotten, ugly, nasty trees. And by the grace of God, through the word of God, and the power of the Spirit, He's healed me. I don't know what other tree needs to be chopped down, but I endeavor to chop down every tree that's not of God. Can I get an amen? That is renewing your mind. You must change the way you think. You have to. You want to be a spiritual athlete? Do you want to really fulfill the plan and purpose of God? Then you need to start to think this. You need to think this when you face circumstances, difficulties, problems, challenges, and when you're rewarded, and when you're blessed, and when you have goodly homes and gates, all of it. You need to think this way all the time. How do I do that? You learn it. You see, that's kind of narrow-minded. Yep, it's about that narrow right there. Well, I don't believe that. Let me know how that goes 30 and 40 years from now or next year, because it won't go all that well. Healing of our past, present, and future. Three ways to heal. And I'm sure there's more, but I just put three down. Three ways to heal, and then we'll read John 21. Change your mind. Everybody say, change your mind. Friends of Bill know it as get rid of your stinking thinking. If you have thinking that's contrary to truth, that's called a stronghold. Paul talks about that. I'll endeavor to preach a message on that, and I have preached it before. We'll preach it again. You need deliverance in your mind. And the truth is, we need deliverance in our mind. We need deliverance in our body. We need deliverance in our soul. Our spirit, I should say. Mind and soul are synonymous. So you got to change your mind. You got to change the way that you think. If you keep thinking the same way, you're going to end up with the same results. You got to change your thinking. Gosh, I can't do that. Wait, you just messed up right there. You didn't even start to tell me what you can't do. You just said can't. Our beloved friend Mindy Lape used to tell Pastor Karen in her early stages of her growth as a Christian when she first got saved. Pastor Karen used to say unbiblical things. And when she would, our dear friend Mindy Lape would say, that's not in the word. Don't say that, Karen. That's not in the word. That's not in the word. It had to get pretty irritating for you because nearly everything you were saying back then was not in the word. That's not in the word. Nope. Where's that in the word? I remember a precious lady who's since gone on to be with the Lord. And she was just on fire, intercessor, prophetic intercessor. She leads somebody to Christ And she tells me about it. Pastor, he was there. I led him to Jesus. He got born again. I'm like, yes, awesome. She says, and then we prayed for him and he got the hose. I said, he got the what? He got the, you know, ho! I said, listen, if you come and say something to me that's not biblical in your testimony, I'm going to say, now, where would that be? Would you show me that? So I say to her, where is that? The hose. Where is the hose? She goes, Pastor, it's Isaiah 55. I'm like, okay. So we go to Isaiah 55, the very first word in Isaiah 55. Ho! That's what it says. It says, oh, you were thirsty. I'm like, okay, all right. You got to change your mind. Everybody say, change your mind. So this, it's biblically we see it. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. The pattern, there's patterns in thinking. There's ideologies and belief systems. Some of you have, you got a bunch of BS in there. Belief systems, Pastor Karen. You got to change it. You have to change your belief system, and it has to come from the Word. If you just believe something because that's how your grandma said, God bless her, or that's how it came from the school, or you're in university. Okay. The second way is healing of past hurtful memories. And God knows, I know about that. Literally inviting Jesus into your memories and healing those through forgiveness. Through prayer. And then the third way, and then we're going to read our text, is how to get healed. Heaven's touch. What do you mean heaven's touch? I have had experiences in God where it wasn't really anybody that was preaching and nobody walked me through any counseling. And was not even cognizant or aware of what I was being healed of, but the power of God touched me so profoundly. And when I came to my senses after being overwhelmed by power, I'm talking like electricity, but different. Power. I realized God had touched me and healed me. And sometimes I knew what it was, and other times I had no idea. Do you know God could touch you right now, right where you are, going through whatever you're going through of your trauma, your difficulty, your pain, your sorrow, your regret. He can heal you right now. His Spirit can come on you, and He can just rewire you, give you some new DNA. Well, I don't know about that. Yeah, well, that's the way it is. God, He made you, He made me, He made all the fishes in the sea. Stand up on your feet. Let's read God's word. John 21, verse 15. That's all an introduction, but very, very important. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? More than these. Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Verse 16. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. A third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord. You know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Oh God, I pray now as we get into the text, after that long, important introduction, that you would move in great power, that you would touch the lives of each and every person here and all those under the sound of my voice, those that will listen even in the future. Holy Spirit, come and bring healing. Sanctify us through and through, even by your word and your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What's happening here is that Jesus is recreating the failure of Peter. Peter's failure is being recreated. How do you get that? Well, simple. In John 18, verse 15, he reads, Simon Peter and the other disciple were following Jesus. Now, Jesus has been brought out of the garden. He's been captured. Because this disciple was known to the high priest. He went in with Jesus. This is John going in with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside the door. The other disciple who was known to the high priest came back, spoke to the girl on the duty there, and brought Peter in. It's like old boy network. Hey, this is Peter. He's with me. You're going to bring him in. The girl's like, oh, he's with you, John? I know you. Okay. And they let Peter in. Verse 17. Are you not one of his disciples? Are you? The girl at the door asked. So as he's coming in, the girl says, hey, you're one of those Jesus people, aren't you? He's like, no, nope, nope, not. He denies the Lord. Self-preservation. He's afraid of getting crucified or whipped, or he's afraid of whatever's happening to Jesus is going to happen to him. Verse 18. It was cold, and the servants and the officials stood around a fire. They had to keep them warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Verse 25, as Simon Peter stood warming himself, he was asked, aren't you one of his disciples? He said, no, I'm not. Those guys, they're freaks. No, nope, not one of them. One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off. So, I mean, get this. Hey, oh, you cut my cousin's ear. In English, it was pigeon. Aren't you the guy that cut my cousin's ear off? I remember you from the garden. And what does he say? He says, no, nope, not me, nope. And then, and the prophetic word from Jesus comes to pass where he denies the Lord three times. What's happening is that Jesus is resurrected. He's come back. They don't know where he is. So they go fishing. They go back to their old life. They catch nothing. And Jesus says, throw your net onto the other side. They do it. They catch all this fish. And Peter's like, oh, snap. It's the Lord. And he jumps out of the boat and he swims to shore. And he's the first one to meet Jesus. He's not seen him since he was taken from the garden. And since he denied him three times, he's now by a fire, perhaps for the first time since he denied the Lord. And Jesus doesn't say, what's up, Peter? That's not what he says. He says, so, do you love me? Why would Jesus do that? He recreates the scene of Peter's failure, and he brings him into this opportunity of Peter reaffirming his love, and he heals the pain of the past. That's what we believe took place. He heals the pain of Peter's past, and he installs him as the chief apostle. I mean, that's amazing. Jesus will heal you. Jesus will set you free, but you have to invite him in and help you to cut down the tree. Or trees. Everybody say triggers are good. Jesus heals our body, mind, and spirit if we do our part. The very word for salvation is sozo in the Greek, to save. But to explain, it encompasses a variety of meanings. To heal, to save, to preserve, to rescue. It's profound. Profound implications. It's salvation. Everybody say salvation. The root word of that is sozo. But it's more than salvation from your sin. And what I have found in my 20-something years of ministry, 25, I found that most people don't preach the whole gospel. They don't preach the full gospel. They say, you receive Jesus, repent of your sin. He'll come into your life, and he'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Heaven, and you'll be forgiven. Now that is very important. Come on, somebody say amen. Yes, but that's not the whole thing. Literally, he doesn't just want to come and remove your sin. He wants to come and make you whole. Literally, he wants to make you sozo, literally your whole life saved. What do you mean? I mean, he doesn't just save your spirit from damnation. He wants to save your money. He wants to save your emotions. What do you mean? I'm telling you, when you get the principles of what he's done, you will no longer live under the curse of poverty and lack. When you get a hold of the principles of heaven, you will no longer live in a barren wasteland of your emotions, feeling horrible about yourself, feeling rejected, feeling alone when you're in the middle of a crowd. You need to get set free. A lot of people receive Jesus in their heart. Yes, that's real. Now you got to let him work through your whole being. Spirit, soul, or mind, and body. Which means, listen, Jesus healed the human body. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no torment in heaven. There's no PTSD in heaven. And weed's not going to set you free from that. I thank God for modern medicine. I thank God for the wisdom that comes. Thank God. However, if you don't get to the root of it, I mean, there's people that are drinking Prozac lithium milkshakes all their life when really they need to, and I'm not against that in the onset, but you got to get to the root. If you don't get to the root, now don't go quitting all of your meds. Oh, that's it. Sound mind. I'm quitting. Don't do that. You'd be led by the Spirit of God. You talk to your doctor, and some things you'll quit, and you'll go to heaven real early. You'll get totally set free because you'll be dead. Fundamentally, sozo is forgiveness of sin, yes, but it's healing, it's wholeness, it's deliverance, it's a comprehensive well-being. The broader theological view sees sozo as encompassing overall well-being, covering every aspect of a person's life. Holistic healers, they thought they made that up. It's not, it's a New Age term. It's not New Age. I mean, it is, but it came from the Lord first. It was his idea. He's the one that heals you, body, soul, and spirit. All right. Triggers are good because they reveal hurts and fears and problems. Triggered in psychology is the context in psychological context refers to the experiencing of a strong emotional reaction, usually negative, in particularly to stimulus or situation. Generally, it's caused by something that reminds an individual of trauma, significant stress. How many have ever been in a car accident? Do you remember after the car accident getting back in the car? Okay, I'm not talking about your drunk stepfather that would come home and what he would do. I'm just talking about a car accident. I'm not talking about when your ex-wife, your ex-husband, and the abandonment, the abuse. I'm not talking about that. He said, well, I haven't had any of those things happen. Okay, God bless you. Everyone here has been through something. And if you don't learn to process it right and get healed, then you build a tree in your head. You build a stronghold. A stronghold is a set way of thinking that's contrary to truth. I can't ever do anything. I don't even like saying these words, but I'm trying to illustrate. Literally, I understand the power of my words to the degree that I don't even like saying stuff to illustrate it to teach you. So I'll quote others. Pastor Karen's dad, his name is Jack. He loved God, filled with the Spirit, loved the Lord. We could not get him to say that he wasn't going to die by the time he was 60. He said it over and over. We would plead with him. We just stop saying that. You're creating your own reality. He creates the fruit of your lips. Guess when he died? 60. Some of you are like, I can't. That's impossible. This will never. Seriously, show me where that is in Scripture. That's not in Scripture, Karen. Karen, that's not in Scripture. This is impossible. Show me, where is that? And yet, so oftentimes, we have PTSD and these things are real. They are real. I remember getting 72 bee stings. I'm a beekeeper. When I was a child, I don't remember how old I was. I'm going to say 15. 15 years old, I got 2 packages of bees from Sears and Roebuck Farm and Ranch catalog. It got delivered to our home at East Hampton, Long Island, New York. I made 2 beehives in shop class. I had them in my backyard. Got the bees. I had read a bunch of books and just tried to figure it out, put the bees in there. And then when one day, I wanted to show all my friends, including my brother who's on the front row, the bees. So I got in there and I was thinking like I was quite the apiary guy. And so I don't have any gloves on and I don't have any equipment, which is fine if you know what you're doing, and everything is great. I showed them the frames are standing at about a 20-foot distance, and these are the bees, and then this is all the brood, and then I got stung in the hand. Bah! And I let it go. Well, when I did that and I created tension, the whole thing kind of woke up. And then I got stung and stung again. Then I dropped the frame on top of the hive. And then it was like a 454 bid block. At least that's my memory. I was like, ah! And we just started running and they were ahead and I was running behind them. I got 72 bee stings. They got all stuck in my hair, which is one of the reasons I don't have hair now. I was thinking about how negative that was, and how I never wanted to mess with bees again. I will never forget what my mother did that night, because I was never going to see those bees again. I left the hives open, and I'll never forget my mother, who's on the third row. Hi, Mom. She said, well, where are the bees now? I said, they're there. Did you close them up? I said, no. She said, you're going to close them up right now. I said, oh, no. She said, oh, yeah. I went and closed them up, and then I never went back. But at least I finished that particular part of it. Bees in my ears, getting bees stuck in my hair was a traumatic experience, so much so that I never wanted to hit all insects. I didn't like any of them. I had a trauma. As I came to Alaska years ago, I always had in my heart to be a beekeeper, but I did not want to mess with bees. God healed me. I've been a beekeeper now for 16 years or so, maybe 15. And I love my bees, mostly. We have an understanding. I got healed. A nun in England was a teacher, and a bell would go off at her school to indicate the next period, the next classes. And every time the bell went off, she had deep anxiety and fear would grip her, and she would pray, oh God, help me. And the bell would stop, and she'd get over it. She couldn't take it, so she goes in and she starts praying. This happened for a year plus, and she starts praying, God, show me, I want to be healed. And the Lord showed her that when she was a little girl in World War II, the pitch and the tone and the sound of the bell that would ring, that would mark the periods, was the same pitch and tone and sound of the bomb warning system in England. And she got healed. I've given you these illustrations to help you make connection in your own life. Because some of you have been through negative things and you've never really dealt with it. And you wonder why you're gripped with fear, or you have anxiety, or you have depression. You can get healed. I got like 4 amens and everybody else is wondering about the science still. I said, you can get healed. I said, you can get healed. You don't have to stay broken. It's not God's will for you to stay broken. In fact, it's completely contrary to the will of God. Well, at least my sins forgiven. No, that's not even biblical. At least your sins are forgiven. Thank God your sins are forgiven. Jesus, thank God Jesus took up residence in your heart. Now let him work through your whole life and be someone that's healed and whole. You will never fulfill your God-given mandate and call before the Lord as an individual if you don't get set free. You must be set free. You got to be delivered. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, I think you need to be delivered. Go ahead, tell him. Young man with PTSD. John Duke is his name. I see Anna Duke in the back. I just love this story. A guy who needed to hear a message like this but never did, came so broken and so angry, comes into the lobby of our 1701 Lucille building. And he just looked like a fish out of water. So, you know, we wanted to help him. And I went right up to him. I said, hey, I'm so glad you're here. He said, yeah, glad to be here. He's wearing a suit and tie, all dressed up. I said, oh, it's your first time? Yeah, it's my first time. I said, oh, okay. How'd you come? Oh, well, my stepfather's here. He comes here. I'm like, oh, great. He says, I'm going to point him out because he's the Antichrist. I said, no. No, we won't be pointing out your stepfather as the Antichrist. Yeah, he is. He's the Antichrist. He's the dude. And again, dude. So I got some others to come and to minister to him and help him lovingly. Come on. He's just broken. He had a lot of trees in his head, like some of you maybe. He had some broken structures. Need a healing. So one of our ushers and prayer person ministered to him, and the usher came back, and as between our two services, the usher came back, he had tears in his eyes. He said, I've never had anybody talk to me like that. We can't help him. I said, oh, okay, where is he? It's in the back. I met up with him in the back, and he began to talk to me. I said, look, here's the thing. Here's why your stepfather's not the Antichrist. You need healing. We want to help you. He curses me out upside one side, down the other. I'm not nervous about that. And I said to him, listen, you can't be like you're being right now and stay here. You can't be violent and angry and curse me out. That won't work here. He said, oh, yeah. I said, okay, well, I'm going to give you three more chances. And furthermore, I said, that's one. I said, that's two. Do you want to be said? I said, that's three. So at that point, I grabbed him by his little shoulders, picked him up. I would not suggest this. This was a while ago, and I might have had some frustration happening in my own spirit. I picked up the young lad, walked him out while carrying him off the ground, used his hinder parts to open the door, and I placed him outside the church. I said, you're not allowed here. You want to get set free, you can come on in. If you don't want to be set free, you need to go. Off my property. This is the church. It's the church's property. I said, yes, and I'm the church, and you're leaving. Or you can come in and get set free. Some of you play patty cake with stuff. We don't. You're going to be set free? Great, stay. You're going to cause problems? Got to go. So he had to go. John was standing with me. At that exact moment, John Duke had all kinds of PTSD. He got kicked out of counseling. He's an evangelist now traveling across America. And Anna Duke is in the back right now. He's standing with me, and this guy gets an inch from my nose, not an inch, I mean almost touching my nose, in my face. He's going to hit me. How many of you know what that's like when you're about to be hit? Does anybody know what it's like? There's a specific feeling. I'm just like, do it. I didn't say that, but I felt that. I'm sorry. I know you're more spiritual than me, but I'm just thinking, oh, hit me. I needed healing. I've gotten healed since then. It was some ministry frustrations. I was going to give him the fivefold. He hit me. He was going down, believe me. And so while he's doing that, this tension, this pause, I'm like, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. And John Duke dives in front of me. Hey, that's my pastor. Have you lost your mind? What are you doing? Get out of here. And it's 10 degrees out, and the guy starts walking away. John looks at that time like he got touched by the Lord. Like he's got tears in his eyes. I don't know what's going on with him, but that was like profound for John. We escort him off. I'm going to tell the whole story since I got time and you guys love stories. A man by the name of Matthew, who since, I'm so grievous, but he overdosed and he died. He was a part of the church, and well, he needed to hear the message I'm preaching to you right now. He pulled in and Matt had to be, 6'4", a ripped 250. He's a big, strong guy. Many times, you remember Matt? Many times in prison, penitentiary. He's driving this car that I think he was bigger than the car. And I remember him coming, it's 10 degrees out, and he had a white t-shirt on. He always wore a white t-shirt. And he comes in, and he's late for church, and we're kicking this guy out, this kid's cursing at us and everything, and his eyes are popping out of his head. He's like this, what's up, Pastor, what's up? I'm like, what's up? So he gets out. As this kid's still cursing us, we're trying to get him off the property. Matt stands up, so the car is like up to his waist, t-shirts, cuffed, totally tatted up everywhere. He says, what's going on? I'm like, this guy's causing problems. He's like, oh yeah. He just starts saying, oh yeah. This is exactly what he says. Oh yeah, I'm a three-time penitentiary offender and I'm going to kill you. Got is my witness. I think the kid peed himself on the spot. And I was then concerned that seriously, Matt was going to kill him. I'm like, Matt. He's like, oh, yeah. And this little kid ran off. I mean, it's sad to say that he never came back. And, you know, but maybe he'll come. We hope that he gets set free and delivered. I'm not trying to make fun of him. Just saying that things happen in life. And to use Matt as the example, I was thankful he came to get my back, but I wish I was able to help him get free. I hope I'm able to help you. You can be healed. Lift your hands to heaven. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Holy Spirit, come and touch. Oh, in Jesus' name. Can I have keys? Thank you. Oh. I didn't finish the story. Reflecting on that event with John Duke. John Duke says to me, he's crying. He says, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm like, you healed of what? He's like, I'm healed. I'm like, what happened? He said, I'm healed of PTSD. I said, how do you know? He said, I'd have killed him. He says, no, you don't understand, Pastor. That kind of conflict and that kind of tension, I just would have snapped and he would have been dead. And then we would have like been going to the police and I killed him. I didn't kill him. I'm like, awesome. He got set free from PTSD. Because he was serving, because he was renewing his mind, because he was reading the word, because he was getting healed. He was getting healed of a lifetime of stuff. So many people come to church and they receive Jesus, but they don't let Jesus move into the whole rest of their life. You gotta get set free. And then there's demon power and there's deliverance. Come next week. And the week after. Going to talk about curses, going to talk about blessings, going to get you healed. Bring every broken person you can find, which is every human being, because we're all broken to some degree and we're all in the process of being healed. What a great word. What God reveals, God heals. That's why triggers are good. You get triggered, it shows you have a problem. You know what I'm talking about when somebody does something and it's just like an atom bomb goes off in your heart? So they do something and the offense, the consequences of the offense is like 100-fold. So they do something to you and then you're like, and they're like, dude, you got triggered. Or something happens and you go in such deep sorrow and self-loathing and now they don't love me anymore. Wait a second. What are you talking about? Well, you didn't say, listen, I've had these things happen to me. I'm not mocking, I'm illustrating. You didn't say hi to me, so I know you don't want me a part of your church. Can you sing that? What a beautiful song. We all need saving. When somebody said that to me, I said, I'm so sorry. Of course we want you part of the church. Of course we love you. Well, when you didn't say hi to me that day, I didn't even know my own name that day. Be open to receiving new understanding from the Holy Spirit, like that Catholic nun. Be open to receiving. Ask God. Ask him right now. Say, hey, Lord, is there anything? Come on, ask him. Is there anything that I'm, anything broken? Watch the Holy Spirit say, yes, actually. Look back on your life. Look back on the things that really made you angry this week. Analyze it. Where did that actually, what's the root of that? Where did that come from? Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Look at the things that you do in response. Some of you just went right off into that lust vein that you have. Just right off into lust to get rid of that anger you have. You went right off into gambling. You went right off into a fit of rage, maybe, which is really murder, not fully developed. Your husband does something and you just respond violently, or your wife or your children. How do you know so much about this? Because I've been set free. What you did on the cross still saves us. There's power in the name of Jesus. Pray and be prayed for. Forgive and be forgiven. You know, the pray and be prayed for part, Pastor Karen struggled for years to get rid of a sense of insecurity. She says, at least. You said, really? I mean, she would like be up here preaching everything? Yeah. Yeah. How did she get set free from that? There was one moment where like a lightning strike from God came, and a simple prayer from a friend. There was no piano. And it just changed. I think that was the final protein structure and tree, final blow of ripping that thing out. She would fight it with the word. She fought it in prayer. I know who I am in Christ. God loves me. I'm significant. I'm secure. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. She would fight it, but these emotions would come. And then challenging just some insight in my marriage to help you. Then I would not be very sensitive to that. And she'd be like, come on, just fight that thing. Come on, just go on. And I would say things that would then trigger her, and it would go back and forth. And I had to learn how to be a better husband. This year is a great morning service. I'm almost done. In a moment, she's totally set free. You got to write a book about that, and you become one of my favorite preachers and teachers of the word. She's preaching on Mother's Day. Can't wait. Forgiven, be forgiven. You say, you don't know what they did. No, you need to refocus on what he did. I know he did. I know she did. They did. I know things happened to you that was horrible and heinous and wicked and evil. Yes. Corrie Ten Boom met one of the guards that raped and killed her family. Raped and killed her family. She survived out of the Nazi concentration camps. Met him in Germany while preaching. And he came up, she recognized him, and he came up and says, you don't know me, but I was in the concentration camp. And she did know him. And in that moment, when he stuck his hand out and said, please forgive me, she knew theologically before God, because God had forgiven all of her sin, had done all of it. He was crucified for that thing. That is what put Jesus, the rape of Corrie Ten Boom and her murderer of her family, was put upon Jesus. So when you think back about what happened to you, you've got to take that and put it on the cross. And force yourself to change your emotions, understanding that justice was served through his crucifixion. His hand extended the German guard. She had already forgiven him, but she didn't feel like shaking his hand. But she knew she had to. She reached her hand out, took his hand. He began to weep and cry. They cried and they wept. And he repented for her sin. There's healing. There's sozo for you. Ushers, would you begin to pass out communion? Final point. You change your mind, you change your life. And the supernatural power of the word will help you to do that. You must replace faulty thinking with truth through prayer, through scripture memorization. Now we're going to pass out communion as soon as everybody is served. As soon as everybody is served, we'll take and eat together. Communion is very powerful. And if you would just wait a moment, we're going to receive it all together. Let me explain to you. One of my relatives, name is Dr. Kenneth McCall. He was a missionary to China, and a doctor in China, came home and started a psychiatric practice and would work in mental hospitals getting people free. He's a Christian, he's a believer. And the Lord got his attention. You can go ahead and begin to serve, gentlemen. Okay, good, perfect, thank you. He had a revelation about communion, the Church of England, and he called it the Eucharist. And we don't believe, I don't know if the Church of England believes in transubstantiation or not. Transubstantiation is they believe that actually when they pray, that the cracker actually becomes the body of Jesus and the juice actually becomes his blood. That is not true, theologically error. Otherwise you'd be crucifying Jesus every time you took communion. No, he's crucified once. They're symbols, powerful, powerful symbols. So he would begin to serve communion to his patients, and he found miraculous breakthrough happening in the lives of the patients. And he wrote a book, The Power of Communion, I think is what it's called. Power of the Eucharist. You know, I preached as good and as clear as I could to you. I understand in my role, somehow if I could get through by the power of God, by the power of the anointing, the truth of his word, then we'll not ever have another Matt. We'll have another people that just ride off and take their life or sedate themselves through drugs and alcohol, sex, perversion, idolatry. We'll have people that get healed. Some of you veterans, you need to be healed. And because you've not attacked that, you need to aggressively attack it with the word. Then you've got problems in your marriage. You're angry all the time. People walking on rice paper around you because you don't know when dad's going to snap. Because you remember when you lost your brother in the Humvee. And you lost a loved one. You remember. And it's in you. My next door neighbor, he moved away and now he's passed. I would shoot my .22 out of the backyard, which is legal. I'm outside city limits. Hallelujah. I'll never forget him coming over. Tears in his eyes. He says, hey, do you mind if you don't do that? I'm like, I kind of want to shoot my .22. You know, it's my son, it's .22, but shoot .20. He says, you just cannot do it. I said, how come? He says, because it reminds me of war. Tears in his eyes. I can't hear that. That's hard for me. And it's just next to my house. Can you not? I said, I'm sorry. Eventually moved away, and now we have gunshots all over the neighborhood. He needed healing. He needed a sound mind, spirit, soul, body. These next 3 weeks, you're going to get healed. And you have to apply the Dr. Carolyn Leith. Give me a high sign when everybody's served, please. Dr. Carolyn Leith. She said it takes approximately 60 days is one cycle to remove the negative neurological structures through negative thinking and through lies. 21 day to make a habit. She says, no, it's 60 days. And there's cycles. Some take 3 cycles of 60 days.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.